Once again, thank you all for being here tonight. This is a public meeting on an application by Clancy Utility Holdings, LLC. It's for proposed permit number WQ001-6335001. This is the formal comment session for tonight's public meeting. During this part of the meeting, you'll be called on in the order in which you registered. When you hear your name called, you'll come up to the microphone, provide the comments that you want TCQ staff to consider before making any final decisions on the application. During this part of the meeting, you will not receive a response to your comment in the moment. Rather, the comments that you provide here during this part of the meeting will get combined with all the written comments that have been submitted, and will be responded to in one written document called the Executive Director's Response to Public Comment. Right now, I've got about 20 folks who have signed up to comment, and so for that reason, I'm going to put you on a three-minute time limit. I'll be timing you. Once you get down to a minute left, I'll flash you this card here. Once you reach time, I'll call time. You'll need to finish your sentence, and then yield the floor for the next person. I will call you up in groups just so that you can be prepared to make your comments. When you hear your name called, go ahead and state your name before you start your comments. And I apologize in advance for when I mispronounce your name. So our first group will talk. We'll start with Tom Smith, who'll be followed by Victoria Rose, Blaine Williams, and then Jim Scott. So Tom Smith.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Tom Smith, or Smitty. I own property immediately across the river at 24815 Hamilton Pool Road. All right. Okay. Let me try this again. I'm Tom Smith, or Smitty. My wife and I own property at 24815 Hamilton Parole, immediately across the river. My lots are within a mile of the proposed TLAP and were shown as an affected property on the list provided by Mirasol. As an affected party, we're going to be seeking a contested case on this, and on not only our behalf, but those of the members of Save the Perdinalis, many of whom are here tonight, and we all, and most of us, own property in the same subdivision. We're all recreational users and uniquely impacted by a TLAP that is not being placed correctly and may affect our ability to recreate. The problem with this TLAP is that it's too close to two important creeks, one in particular, the Bunkhouse or Elder Creek, that will drain immediately across from our property and could well affect the recreation down in the river. There are no studies of alternatives that we found in the permit that might actually be farther away from these drainage areas and could affect would be away from the springs and creeks. And the groundwater permit shows almost a significantly lesser number of The groundwater permit shows almost double the amount of people that are on site than you would see in the TLAP permit. So you got two separate numbers, one about twice the size of the other, the groundwater being the larger, in terms of how many people would use it and thus how much stuff you're going to have to dispose of. And this needs to be fixed. Tonight you're also going to be hearing about the impacts on Roy Creek and Elder Creek. And you're going to be hearing from Lou and others about the impact of these creeks, pollution in these creeks. You'll be hearing about the economic impact of the failure of this system, and you'll also be hearing some about the impact of a TLAP system that has failed on the area up around West Cypress Creek in the Perdinalis River, which is just about 10 miles away from where this process is. And you'll hear from others about what the impact is of the steady drip, drip, drip of effluent into the rivers and the creeks in times of low flow, when drought's at the worst. And that is the fuel that creates the algae bloom. And you'll also be hearing about the questions that we've heard earlier and raised earlier about the lack of explicit phosphorus and nitrogen limits in the permit. And we're glad that you all are talking about that. The problem is with y'all over at TCEQ, we can't get them in that permit, and it needs to be, so it's an enforceable component of this, and that's what effectively prevents the algae blooms. Now, we're asking TCEQ to deny this permit or to put significant improvements in it. You're charged with the legislature, by the legislature, with preventing degradation. And we just don't think this permit, as written, is going to accomplish that. And we appreciate all the efforts that Mirasol has put into this and you all have put into the permit, but it's just not enough. We can do better, and the stakes are extremely high of failure. Thank you all very much for your time.
All right, thank you. Victoria Rose.
Good evening. My name is Victoria Rose, and I'm here to speak on behalf of Save Our Springs Alliance. Now, generally, Save Our Springs is in favor of TLAP permits versus discharge permits because oftentimes they can really protect our waterways. Unfortunately, TLAPs next to bodies of water like the Pernalis River are kind of dangerous and can end up degrading the water quality nearby. To demonstrate this point, I'd like to talk about the TLAP associated with the West Cypress Hills. With that one, the permit is very similar to the draft permit that Mirasol Springs is seeking. The effluent quality parameters are pretty similar. The drip field is also pretty sloped. And then it's also by Lick Creek, which is kind of similar in situation for the Mirasol permit. One key difference is that the West Cypress Hills permit, they were permitted to dispose of 31,000 gallons per day on 72 acres. So that's pretty different than the 39,000 gallons on 16 acres here for the Mirasol permit. But even with 39,000 gallons on 72 acres, there is still evidence in Lick Creek of algal blooms associated with wastewater and higher nitrogen levels associated with the wastewater. So obviously this TLAP has failed, and it's pretty similar to the Mirasol one, so that's really scary and making us a little nervous, especially considering that the Mirasol TLAP fields are in the spring shed for 3 out of 10 of the known locations for the Pernalis River spring salamander. So we're really concerned about the wastewater ending up in those springs and emerging contaminants of concern like hormonal birth control and other things that would affect the salamanders ending up in their habitat and really harming the wildlife. So I would just like for TCEQ and the applicant to kind of think about this and mull it over and take a second look at the Mirasol Springs permit so that we can protect the Pernalis River and protect the Pernalis River Springs salamander. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Blaine Williams.
Hi, I'm Blaine Williams. My wife, Elaine Davenport, and I live at 1316 Overland Stage Road. We share a fence line with Mirasol to our west. We have a well drilled in 2002, which pumps from the Middle Trinity Aquifer. We are listed in the Mirasol Springs Ranch 2023 TLAP application in attachment 23, affected landowners, as property number 13. We are a little over a half mile from the TLAP fields. The same application in attachment 18 discusses a creek that flows through our land on its way to the Mirasol property where it splits the TLAP fields and flows on into the Pernalis River about a quarter mile beyond. This creek is referred to in attachment 18 as unnamed tributary, which has been historically referred to as Bunkhouse Creek. Page 2 of attachment 18 states, quote, "There is an unnamed tributary to the Pernalis River that has an intermittent flow. The feature has not been carrying water during any of the site investigations made by the engineer or consultants, and no data could be located on historical flows or floods. I can provide information on the historical flows in Bunkhouse Creek. In late 2001, before we built our house, a huge rain event was documented by our neighbors. They emptied their 5-inch rain gauge twice overnight, so there was at least a 10-inch overnight rain on our properties. 13 days later, I observed water streaming out of the hill above what would be our future home. The hill had literally become the top of the water table. Just before entering the Pernalis, Bunkhouse Creek contains a spring with potentially endangered wildlife. A petition to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to place the Pernalis River Springs salamander on the endangered species list states, quote, Little Elder Spring and Bunkhouse Springs are located in an ephemeral stream channel that contributes to the Pernalis River. The Pernalis River Springs salamander has been found in both of these springs. This ephemeral stream channel and the unnamed tributary are the same channel that runs through our property. Our concern is that the TLAP field design may not have contemplated the near certainty that this area will have explosive rains and even rain bombs. Effluent that is not taken up by the vegetation in the TLAP field could wash into the springs, creeks, and river or percolate through the karst features to reach groundwater 80 feet below. This is the groundwater that supplies our well. The proximity of the TLAP fields to our wells, springs, and ultimately the Pernalis River give us grave concerns that a disaster is waiting to unfold. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Scott.
Hey, good evening. My name is Jim Scott. I want to thank you for the opportunity. I've had a good chance to visit with both the applicant and their team. They've been very open and forthcoming with answers to previous questions that I've had. I submitted a document, about 18 pages, to the website for TCEQ earlier this evening. And so I'm not going to take you through all these comments that I have, just try to hit a couple highlights for you. Number one, I was never notified of this this application. I thought I would be. I made this map here. That orange square is my lot that I have. I think that's an issue with TCEQ not providing enough of a distance buffer to adjoining land areas to identify and confirm that there are truly people that own that land and look those people up and get them onto the mailing list. Probably a lot of my comments are going to relate to TCEQ, so I want to thank you for this opportunity to do that. The search and discovery and navigation of the website is tortuous. I know that there is an exceptional item. The Sunset Commission made advice to the TCEQ to fix that. I know there's $7 million in the queue to help do that. I would like to volunteer to be a real live participant to help provide reality into that process and not let the consultants take that process over without real people providing input. The content standards for the TLAP really need a lot of modernization. There's all kinds of scales of maps that don't fit the problem that's being projected in each of the sections of the permit. It's kind of all over the place. There's really excellent modernized digital data that the TCEQ has directly funded. I happen to know that because I was the former Texas Geographic Information Officer for the state and work well with TCEQ all the time, so thank you for that. But your permit process really could just take advantage of all this great data that's out there. Getting back to the permit, I'm really curious as to why there would not have been more water quality modeling across the whole complex of the timeline and the development of this process. I was a development planner back in the old days on the Uplands project, and we did that continuously. I'm also wondering why there would not have been more opportunity to do some subsurface investigations using ground-penetrating radar to get below the soil and then understand the karst features below. And also just one other technical comment is there really does need to be a link between these details, plans of drainage and infrastructure delivery with this permit so that we have an understanding of that at this time, even if it's not final, preliminary would be just fine. The final thing is this process could be probably a lot more efficient. I put this map together. There's a QR code on here. If you scan that, it'll take it to my comments I made on this document. If you go to this document, there's a QR code. You click on that link. It takes you to this map. This map can be collaborated on by anybody in this room, and I really think there's an opportunity for the TCEQ to really think boldly about the future of bringing these great people in the public with these great people in the development community together a lot earlier and probably mitigate a lot of these kinds of meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so our next group, we'll start with Kathy Ramsey. We'll be followed by Madeline Mathis, Karen Haddon, and then Bill Oliver. Kathy Ramsey.
Hi there, thank you. I'm Kathy Ramsey, and I am with Save Our Springs Alliance and also Sustainable Dripping Springs. I spoke with you earlier some about the common Bermuda grass, and it is an issue that I'd like to highlight. I know that once the common Bermuda is fed and watered with all of this nutrient-rich water, it will need to be mowed. And when you're putting in native grass species that can't be mown that often, you're just going to end up supporting common Bermuda. So you're going to end up with a common Bermuda field, and anything else is going to be outcompeted. The other plant that you have in there that drew some concern from me is the millet. It is a plant that is highly preferred by brown-headed cowbirds. Brown-headed cowbirds are a parasitic species. They laid an egg in the nest of another bird, and the other birds raise their young. They used to follow buffalo around, but since we no longer have those roaming and we have fences and cattle, they tend to stick around. They used to mostly parasitize prairie species, but now that they're around all the time, they've also expanded and they parasitize woodland species. They are a known nest predator for endangered golden-cheeked warblers, which nest all along the canyon right close to your TLAP site. You'll find that most wildlife management companies and Texas Parks and Wildlife, birding organizations, all these folks that pay attention to birds say, do not put millet in your feeders. It attracts brown-headed cowbirds. So use black oil sunflower seed, Niger, various other things, but don't put out millet. So I really think putting millet in the TLAP field is another very problematic species. Would love to see so much more energy going into determining alternative species, native species for TLAP fields. The West Cypress Hills, I've got frightening pictures in my comments that are submitted of what's going on there. And if Mirasol really wants to jump the gun and try and see how much native species can impact wastewater flows, there's a great opportunity to work with that TLAP up there and then try and improve something that already exists rather than replicating that very same permit in this very much more sensitive area. So we'd like to see both of those plants addressed and taken out of the permit. Thanks.
Thank you. Madeline Mathis.
Hello, my name is Madeline Mathis, and I'm an 11th generation Texan who grew up here in the Hill Country. And I grew up going to the Pernales and going to the Springs and Hamilton and used to go on field trips there when I was a kid. I contest the permit because of the repercussions that it will have on these water bodies and Austin's drinking water as well. I currently am serving on the Austin Drinking Water Task Force, and I'm worried about what repercussions for the water quality of Lake Travis this may have on the drinking water area uptake pipes that are in Lake Travis. According to the Meadows Institute, the Pernales River supplies up to 25 to 30% of the inflows into Lake Austin. A report in this last task force meeting showed that as of January 1st, 2024, there's less than 0.9 million acre feet of water in the Highland Lakes. Despite these drought levels, no green-blue algae or golden algae has ever been really detected near the Austin water pipes. Since this is a major contributing river flowing into Lake Travis, I think it's significant to look at the amount of nutrient load that could potentially get into this river. I am worried with the drip fields being adjacent to the large drainage areas and dry creek bed. I think that they could be placed in better areas along the site, considering there is 1,000 acres of conservation land you know, having a longer pipe further away from these sensitive drainage areas could be a potential solution to reducing the runoff likelihood into these water bodies. Furthermore, according to the Texas Invasive Species Institute, the Bermuda grass is a category one of three most invasive species, as mentioned by Kathy, and it is very rapid to spread through its roots along with wind-blown reproduction, which cannot really be prevented with berms or swales or any kind of containment. I think that the idea of using natives is an honorable one, but I also worry about the root sizes of those natives and how they would increase the amount of percolation and potential for the groundwater. With the acidity of the discharge being allowed to be at 6, it is likely to dissolve the limestone, which is a highly alkaline type rock feature, and it is what is protecting those aquifer recharge zones. Furthermore, additionally, the filtration that is proposed does not have any type of filtration that would address the PFOA contaminants that have been newly designated for a hazardous material, and this would potentially also contribute to Austin's water. And the Colorado River was found to have 4 to 10 times the amount of PFOAs than what the EPA has deemed safe for humans. I also believe that there are discrepancies in the permit calculations, and this can lead to sanitary sewer overflows, which will further lead to nutrients ending up in these water bodies. The residential flow calculated on page 110 of the permit using the TCEQ method proposes there will be 193 people in the residential housing. But in the supplemental information they provided the Hayes groundwater on August 25th, 2022, they projected that there would be 368 people using these residences. This increases the residential calculation from 9,625 million gallons per day to 18,400 million gallons a day.
At that time.
Finish
your sentence. Thank you.
This increases the overall calculations to 42,715 million gallons per day rather than the 975 million gallons per day, or the 39 million gallons per day that they calculated using the LUE calculations. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, if you find that 3 minutes isn't enough, written comments count the same as oral comments. You're certainly welcome to visit the registration table and supplement your comments in writing before the meeting ends. Up next is Karen Haddon.
Hi, I'm Karen Haddon. Together, my husband and I own property immediately across from what would be the drip fields from the Mirasol project. I'm very concerned about this permit. It's not strong enough. It will not protect our land, the river, the species in it, the springs, the creek, and Roy Creek Canyon. It will fail. I have here a map of the 50 wells that are within 1 mile. If there's not karst features, and there's sure to be, there are 50 wells. These create pathways for pollutants, which sometimes get referred to as nutrients, but these pollutants would go, number one, downhill because gravity is real. These are sloped. and they would also reach across through water tables, percolate down to the aquifer. There is no way contamination will stay within the dotted lines shown at the drip fields. I'm sorry, that's just not reality. I am incredibly concerned that TCEQ would issue a permit in a sensitive area such as this one, and I question whether you looked at the site at all, because this is not just an ordinary field that's flat. This is on a river with slope topography, with karst. It has unique endangered species. This is different. You can't do what's normally done. And this site and this permit allows Class C operators to be at the helm. We need Class A. We want the best. I want somebody in charge who knows what's going on, who's thoroughly knowledgeable, and they need to be there 7 days a week, not five. There needs to be somebody there who can fix it when there's a problem, because it's going to be too late if it doesn't get fixed immediately. I do not want this effluent coming down and getting into the creeks, destroying Roy Creek, destroying the existing populations of endangered species, threatened species, and I do not want to swim in a cesspool. And I do not want it filled with algae. We know what that looks like. It's horrendous, and it has health impacts for people. Dogs have died due to the toxins from algae. This water feeds Hamilton Pool. It feeds Reimers Ranch, West Cape Preserve, and then downstream, it becomes Austin drinking water. This is not what we need. We need a stronger permit, and we need you to do that. We need to have a requirement to remove nitrogen and phosphorus, to monitor everything all the time, and make it publicly available so we can know about it in real time before we go swimming, so we don't find out after we go swimming and get sick. We want reporting of many different kinds of pollutants. Yes, it might cost a little bit more, but I think there's going to be a lot of money involved here, and I think that money could be spared. In fact, I think they could afford a Class A operator, and I think that needs to be a requirement. There needs to be ultraviolet disinfection, not chlorine, because that kills fish. The civil and administrative and criminal penalties need to be increased. A better study needs to be made of recharge features, because it's highly unlikely there aren't any, I'm wrapping up, in 16.2 acres when I have one on a 2.5 acre tract. I hope that you will strengthen this permit, and I will be contesting it in hopes that it becomes better. And if the applicant makes promises to do more, please accept them and put it into the permit, including all native species, no non-natives. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. A couple of folks have made reference to requesting a contested proceeding or a contested hearing. I do need to make sure everyone's aware that all requests for a contested hearing need to be made in writing. So it's not enough to come to the microphone and state that orally. If you do wish to request a hearing, you'll need to do that in writing. Up next is Bill Oliver.
Thank you very much, the TCEQ, for this opportunity. Okay. Whoa. Move our podium over. What a podium.
Elephants.
I know this is a wonderful wine region, but this is a classic beer song. So get your steins going, guys. Woo. There's 39,000 gallons a day, 39,000 a day. Where does it go and where does it stay? 39,000 a day. 39,000 gallons a day, 39,000 a day. Who's to bless and who's to blame? 39,000 a day. 39,000 gallons a day, 39,000 a day. Sometimes there's a rush, a royal flush. 39,000 a day. For nitrogen and phosphorus, chlorine your solution. Injected in a dripping field, we poo-poo that pollution. 39,000 gallons a day, 39 gallons a day. Where does it go and where does it stay? 39,000 a day. The effluent need a place to play, and their effluent never quits. No matter how you figure it, that's a lot of 39,000 gallons a day, 39 gallons a day. There's never a flush that goes away, 39,000 a day. Once there was a bunkhouse, a creek that had a name, a watershed that had a life, and now it's what a shame. 39,000 gallons a day, 39,000 a day. Don't dump the bucket on the little fat muckets. They have no other escape.
Thank you. Our next group, we'll start with Lou Adams, be followed by Joellen Askins, Leslie Valentine, and Patricia Hanley. Lou Adams.
Rode my clock twice on time. I'm Lou Adams. I am one of the contested cases here.
We will need to adjust
down
that
to the microphone.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm also a member of Save Our Springs, and I'm here on behalf of them as well as a contested case. Many scientists, noted scientists, have claimed that Roy Creek Canyon is perhaps one of the last uncompromised watershed, creek, spring-fed canyons in the state of Texas. That's no lie. We have numerous indications from there, and we've been conducting eco-laboratory studies there for years and years, going all the way back to before the listing of the Golden Cheek Warbler. But we believe the Clancy-Mirasol permit does not take adequate measures to ensure and protect our groundwater in the Pedernales River from pollution. firstly, the water volumes are enormous. 39,000 gallons per day, as you just pointed out. 14,000 per year, over 14 million per year. 71 million over a 5-year period. And 142 million plus over a 10-year period. That is an enormous volume of wastewater to put in that small area of 16 acres. on top of that, we're talking about putting it in this. This is karst, Swiss cheese. That's about the consistency of what our limestone base is underneath a great part of the hill country. So the thought that that will not migrate other places is just impossible to believe. The drip fields are far too close to Roy Creek Canyon. We're very concerned about that, and particularly in rain events. They're also located, as has been pointed out, in a drainage area directly above Elder Creek Canyon, which flows directly into the Pedernales River. Here's where Roy Creek is. We are surrounded by this development. Surrounded. This is a drift field. It's about the closest to the canyon of any development structure or component of this development. So we are literally almost at ground zero. the maps do not clearly show elevations. We've talked about the endangered species, particularly the grasses and stuff, that we do not have any invasive species in Roy Creek Canyon. It's been confirmed by many, many surveys. And in closing, I would like this board to listen closely tonight as sound decisions rely greatly on scientific knowledge. For instance, we now know that large volumes of chemically treated sewage allowed to enter groundwater or springs, creeks, and rivers can cause almost irreversible damage. The risk of losing Roy Creek, such a valuable asset that organizations and educational institutions continue to utilize for research and field studies, would be a travesty. And who would possibly want that as their legacy? For 83 years, my family has felt the moral obligation to save this rare jewel so that it can be studied and appreciated by future generations. Therefore, we have little choice but to object to this permit. I'd like to urge all of you to visit roycreekcanyon.org and learn more about it. and I'm going to cut it short because I know I'm going to get the minute. So thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. Joelle and Askins.
Good evening. My name is Joelle Askins. Following Lou, I always want to say what he said. Lou is my neighbor. Our families have shared the Roy Creek Canyon for many years. Our property is bordered by the Pertinalis River, Roy Creek, and Mirasol Springs. Over the years, we've partnered with many organizations for the purpose of research and education so that we can continue to preserve and protect this pristine land and its water resources. You know, to be honest, until recently, I didn't know that it was important to have my well and our springs on a map. We just turned the UT students loose and said, go that direction. Lou knows where they are. Now they're on a map. But I had to learn to do that. So imagine, if you will, what I feel like in this audience. I implore you to do the best that you can do, to document what they're volunteering to do. Let's get it all together so that it can continue to be the pristine place that it is. You know, my grandson, I always have to tell this story. My grandson was born on Roy Creek and the Pertinalis 4 years ago. My father played there as a little boy. He grew up fishing and swimming in the Pertinalis River. And so did I. My children and their children will swim in it. My son just jumped in the Pertinalis about 2 weeks ago. It was entirely too cold for me. But I will tell you that the river looked clear and the air was crisp. I hope it stays that way. When I got home from that trip to the Pertinalis, I read the 564 Mirasol Springs, Texas application permit. At the very end of the application is an attachment 23 with 55 landowners listed. My family is number 50. I'm not sure that my family or any other family will be safe swimming there much longer. I'm concerned about all of the data that shows failures to wastewater permits, to wastewater processes. It's not the intent, but it's happening. Please work together and document and put it together so we can swim confidently that in 50 years from now, when those pipes need checking, that my grandchildren don't have to worry. I implore you. Thank you.
Thank you. Leslie Valentine.
Hi, good evening. I'm Leslie Valentine. For nearly 20 years, I was a writer and editor at EDF, a leading environmental group. And as part of the Adams clan, I grew up going to Roy Creek Canyon. This ecological jewel is now threatened by the surrounding Mirasol Springs development. As early conservationists, my aunt and uncle, Marjorie and Red Adams, worked tirelessly to keep the canyon's fragile ecosystem in its pristine state. In 1975, they released a film they made called What Good is a Warbler, which led to the protection of the golden-cheeked warbler, a bird that nests only in central Texas and is a denizen of Roy Creek Canyon. I wish they had also made a film called What Good is a Salamander? I started thinking about salamanders a lot lately and hearing about the threats to the Pernalis River Spring salamander and the rare yellow speckled salamander newly discovered in Roy Creek. Why should we care about a tiny, slimy, uncharismatic creature that most of us have never seen? Since I'm not an expert, I began looking into the matter. Turns out these lizard-like amphibians play a very important role in maintaining ecosystem health. For one, they're an integral part of the food web. They eat insects like mosquitoes and are themselves food for other larger animals. Their disappearance could cause cascading damage to other wildlife. Their sensitive skin is permeable and highly absorbent, making them vulnerable to drought and toxic substances. They're in fact considered canaries in the coal mine because they are so susceptible to small changes in the habitat, such as water quality. One thing that I always remember about Roy Creek is the crystalline, pure spring water that was safe to drink and where aquatic species like the salamander flourished. I'm deeply concerned that allowing 39,000 gallons per day of treated wastewater to flow into the drain fields above the Pardinalis and Roy Creek is a recipe for polluted waters and toxic blooms that would decimate the salamanders and other wildlife up the food chain, as well as pose a health danger to humans and animals. Wastewater irrigation on the slope fields could easily lead to runoff into the river in springs, especially during flooding events. Effluent not soaked up by vegetation could percolate through karst features to reach the aquifer below. Therefore, I ask you, at the very least, to tighten the regulations to require the following: strict limits on nitrogen and phosphorus, continuous pollutant monitoring of wells, spring flows, and water flows to the Pardinalis River, with data from testing made publicly available in real time, and also use of ultraviolet disinfection instead of chlorine, which is toxic to fish and salamanders, and tougher penalties for violations. This area of the Hill Country is too special and vulnerable to risk degradation and pollution. After all, the land's unspoiled springs and healthy rivers are what draw people to this part of the Hill Country. Let's keep it that way for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Patricia Hanley.
Hello, I'm an immediate downstream neighbor of Mirasol Springs. My obvious concern is the river and the Highland Lakes. I realize this is a permit for land application and not a discharge permit. Nonetheless, it seems likely that some treated effluent will make its way into the river. The concerns are greatest when the river is at extremes, both high and low flow. At low flow, the problem of nutrient pollution with both nitrogen and phosphorus are likely to cause algal blooms because the pollutants aren't diluted by the river's flow. The effluent quality monitoring doesn't monitor for these per the permit. I hope that soil monitoring will prevent dripping effluent when the soil is saturated after rains or frozen. Adequate storage of effluent will be needed potentially for weeks. As other persons have mentioned, some of the 16 acres may not be well suited for dripping into the soil due to the slope. Somewhere I've read, the slopes more than 15 degrees will result in more treated effluent running right into the river. And I believe some of the slopes were more than 180 degrees, like that's a wall. Note that this property is within the 10-mile buffer of the Highland Lakes and within a discharge ban. So if it were discharge, it would be illegal. Using treated effluent for irrigation leads to the same concerns as for the 39,000 gallons per day discussed in this permit.
So I propose that dripping cease when the soil is saturated or frozen. I propose that the effluent be monitored for total nitrogen, not just ammonia and phosphorus. And I propose that the river be monitored up and downstream of Mirasol Springs and modifying the permit if the current pristine river becomes polluted.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, even though you hear me call your name, please state your name before you provide your comments. Our next group will be Carol Phillipson, followed by Annie Bowden, Andrew McCartney, and Sam Jett. Carol Phillipson.
Hello, my name is Carol Phillipson. I live at 2222 and 360, so this is not going to affect me directly, but it could be because I like Travis. But I'm concerned about water in all areas. So today I'd emailed a comment that according to the EPA averages, Mirasol Springs, and this was based on 55 homes, would need approximately 2,810,500, just 5,621,000 gallons of water per year for its 55 homes, which is not correct. 77 rooms, and not including the UT field office, the farm, nor water needed for general maintenance and other applications. Not only is this a reason to not grant permits of any kind to Mirasol Springs, but will have negative effects to the pristine Roy Creek Canyon from the most dangerous invasive species, humans. I'm sure Steve Wynn is well aware of the Hill Country's extreme drought and the biodiverse habitat and pristine watershed of Roy Creek. Mr. Wynn states, quote, "If Mirasol Springs spoils Roy Creek, we have failed our goal," unquote. Well, if Mirasol Springs spoils Roy Creek, we bear the brunt of his failure, not him living in Dallas. There are many other places to build this invasive development, but it's not here. Instead, Mr. Wynn should donate the property to Texas Land Conservancy and take a healthy tax write-up, which I'm sure he could use. You have heard, this goes to TCU, you have heard all the reasons and arguments to not grant this permit. Now it's time to evaluate why you took your position with TCQ in the first place. Did you choose to help protect our natural resources, as your mission statement reads, quote, "protect our state's public health and natural resources," unquote? And is it your goal to guarantee Texans, quote, "clean air, clean water, and the safe management of waste," unquote? Do not lose sight. It is each and every one of you who is responsible to protect our and your environment and water for all of us. To this end, it should be an easy decision for you to deny any permit for Mirasol Springs in the best interest for Hill Country residents and yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you. Annie Bowden.
Okay, let's see. All right, I can't read with my glasses on. All right. Hello, my name is Annie Borden. I live at 24815 Hamilton Pool Road in La Tierra Subdivision across from West Cave Preserve. My home is on the bend. Up here, right there. My home is on the bend in the Pernalis River, directly across from the Mirasol site, a development, the view of which wraps around my field of vision by more than 180 degrees. Our subdivision runs 1 mile upriver from Hammett's Crossing Bridge and along our common land, which is a precious slice of paradise with a lovely beach, all the way across from us. My late husband and I bought this property in 1988, and for 10 years we camped on our lot almost every weekend before building our straw bale house with the help of many friends in 1998. So I know this land and this river pretty well. For several years before we built our home, we were volunteer river monitors for Colorado River Watch. We would go down the hill with our beach chairs, sample kit, and rubber gloves to collect water samples in little glass vials. Back then, the Pernalis River was known for being very clean. So much so that it improved the water quality when it flowed into the Colorado River. It made Austin drinking water better. As soon as we had grandkids, we could hardly wait to introduce them to the joys of our beautiful river. It's easy for little ones to play on the beach at the bend in the river. The shallow water gently slopes into the lovely, deeper, cooler, spring-fed water. There's nothing to fear, really. Minnows might nip at your toes, or you might catch glimpses of prehistoric-looking alligator gar swimming by. Perhaps a snapping turtle would come your way before it sees you and retreat to a nearby rock. Very occasionally, there might be a water moccasin sighting. The river felt safe, and friendly, gentle, and inviting. Mine are not the only grandchildren who enjoy the delights of this sweet place. Many a weekend in nice weather, I'll hear squeals of happy laughter wafting up to my house from the beach. Sometimes I'll walk down with my puppy, Suki, who loves the river, to join them, playing, picnicking, swimming, kayaking, fishing, dogs playing fetch in the river. Many of us relish these activities with our children, grandchildren, friends, and family. A lot of friends have been here today. Unfortunately, for those of us on La Tierra's side of the river, those of us who've enjoyed the river for recreation for decades, that beautiful, clean spread, spring-fed water will now be at the mercy of any pollutants from the wastewater drip fields that will make their way into the nearby Elder Creek. Oh, that's a wrong map. Elder Creek. Because Mirasol's wastewater treatment site is up above the river with its drip fields adjacent to the creeks, or dry creeks or springs, which then flow into the river, which is not very wide, and the creek is directly across from La Tierra's beach.
That's time.
Oh,
you wrap
yeah.
up, please, quickly.
Oh, I talk longer than I thought. Anyway, so I'm really worried about algae blooms, about the safety of the river. Everything's going to change when this goes in. And about the safety of me and my health and all of our friends and all the kids and my dogs. So, well, I want absolute real-time monitoring. I want cleaning the water even better with the no phosphorus and nitrates. And I was just going to say, if I were to be taking that river samples now, it wouldn't be cleaning up Austin drinking water anymore, I fear, once this goes in. I spoke slower than I thought.
Thank you. Up next is Andrew McCartney.
I'm going to pass on speaking.
All right, thank you. Sam Jett.
All right. Hello. My name is Sam Jett. I'm a land steward, a farmer, and an advocate for conservation. I have a farm and vineyard business on Hamilton Pool Road, just a few miles down from Mirasol Springs. In my public comment today, I'd like to discuss with you this wastewater permit and its risk of environmental impacts and how that could have economic impacts on the residents and businesses in that area. With keeping environmental principles in mind, careful thought and consideration should be put into the design and plan of this wastewater permit, especially for an area of land that is so environmentally sensitive. The wastewater permit specifies the use of pearl millet, common Bermuda grass, and cereal rye grain for the TLAP fields, along with some native grasses. While these grasses, like common Bermuda, pearl millet, and cereal rye, may have some ability to absorb nutrients from the soil, they may not be as efficient as other plant species. The effectiveness of the grasses and the wastewater filtration often depends on their root systems. While pearl millet, common Bermuda grass, and cereal rye do have root systems, they may not penetrate deep enough to enter our soil or possess the appropriate structure to effectively capture and retain contaminants from the wastewater. There is also a risk that these grasses could become contaminated themselves when used in wastewater filtration systems if the contaminants accumulate in the plant tissues without effective removal or degradation mechanisms. There is a potential for secondary pollution or harm to animals and ecosystems if these plants are consumed or enter natural waterways. This development's wastewater treatment and infrastructure, if they are not adequately planned or if there are deficiencies in the design or capacity of the systems, contaminants like pathogens, heavy metals, and organic compounds could seep into the groundwater supply. And according to Save Barton Creek Association, since 2017, 81% of sewage discharge plants in the Texas Hill Country have exceeded pollutant limits. So with these environmental impacts, we have next the environmental consequences. Contaminated well water can have significant economic impacts on residents. They may incur costs associated with installing water treatment systems to make their water safe for consumption or having to buy water and truck it in. Additionally, property values could decrease if potential buyers are concerned about the water quality availability, leading to financial losses for homeowners. So again, wastewater permit can have other effects than just on wastewater. Central Texas is known for its natural beauty and outdoor recreational opportunities, including activities like swimming, fishing, boating, boating on the rivers and lakes and springs. If this wastewater contamination affects these water bodies, it could lead to closures or advisories against recreational activities due to health risk. This can deter tourists and visitors, leading to an economic losses for businesses that rely on recreation tourism, such as my farm and vineyard, Hamilton Pool, Reimers Ranch, and Westgate Preserve. In summary, the wastewater contamination events that impact the aquifer can have far-reaching environmental and economic consequences, including risk to public health, financial burdens, or residents, losses for business reliant on tourism, and damage to aquatic ecosystems. Preventing and mitigating such events through the best wastewater management practices and the pollution control measures is essential to safeguarding both the environment and the economy of the region. But even in this case of an extreme rain weather event, it may not be enough for this permit as it is planned now. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Our next group will start with Mike Clifford, followed by Brian Zapchik, Carolyn Kroom, and Miriam Wright. Mike Clifford.
Good evening. I'm Mike Clifford, Technical Director for the Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance. We have serious concerns regarding the Clancy permit application relating to degradation of various springs, wells, the Pertinalis River, and the downstream Highland Lakes from treated sewage runoff. We recommend that the Clancy Utility Holdings wastewater permit in its current form be denied. The topography of the area consists of steep hills sloping down towards the Pertinalis River, thereby assuring rapid overland flow of stormwater and any land-applied wastewater during rain events. Given this, one would expect strict wastewater limits for phosphorus, biochemical oxygen demand, and total suspended solids, yet the draft permit contains no such strict limits. There are no limits at all for phosphorus, known to cause algae growth in waterways threatening aquatic life, and phosphorus is not only a driver of algae growth, but of toxic algae growth as well, which first appeared in our Highland Lakes in 2019 and continues to plague our Highland Lakes today. The draft permit limits of 15 milligrams per liter for total suspended solids and 10 milligrams per liter for biochemical oxygen demand are also very lax and would result in pollution of both surface and groundwater during saturation and runoff conditions. We therefore recommend a 5-5-2.15 wastewater permit. 5 milligrams per liter total suspended solids, 5 milligrams per liter biochemical oxygen demand, 2 milligrams per liter ammonium nitrogen, and 0.15 milligrams per liter phosphorus, rather than the very lax 15-10-2 permit given in the draft permit. with no phosphorus limits. Another major issue with the Mirasol Springs layout is the location of 18 conservation lots on the far side of Roy Creek Canyon. Because the houses on these lots would be located across the canyon from the wastewater treatment plant, a raw sewage pipe would need to be laid across Roy Creek Canyon between those houses and the wastewater treatment plant. In the event of a pipe leak, raw sewage could then spill into pristine Roy Creek and the Pertinalis River, fouling this sensitive, important habitat and putting native species at risk. Who will be monitoring this pipe to ensure its ongoing structural integrity? Our understanding is that TCEQ is not required to do this since this location is not over the Edwards Aquifer. In summary, if the Mirasol Springs developer wants to develop this area, they need a much tighter wastewater permit and to better address the raw sewage threats to Roy Creek Canyon. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Zabchuk.
Thank you for getting my name right, pronouncing my name right. I really appreciate it. Brian Zabchuk, Advocacy Director with Save Barton Creek Association. We were founded in 1979, making us one of the oldest citizens environmental groups in the state. We now work to protect water quality in streams and aquifers throughout Central Texas. And we've done this a lot. We've worked on a lot of wastewater permits. We've been to a lot of TCEQ meetings. And so we are speaking from that experience in making our comments about this particular permit. As we previously stated, we are really thankful that TCEQ is expanding the use of TLAP permits. We think that these are far preferable to discharge permits. However, they are not without their problems, and we want to make sure that this particular TLAP permit does not cause problems. We are asking TCEQ to provide the following information and make these suggested changes to ensure that this doesn't happen, that these problems don't happen with the Mirasol Springs permit. We're asking TCEQ to provide the public with statistics on the compliance record of existing TLAP facilities. In order to determine the requirements necessary for the Mirasol Springs permit, the public should know about failure incidents and failure rates at existing TLAP facilities, and this information should be easily accessible. TCEQ must assess the effect of not just the stormwater that will fall on the irrigation fields at Mirasol Springs. It should also to assess the effect of stormwater runoff from the surrounding drainage area that will flow over the fields. TCEQ must evaluate the ability of the Mirasol Springs applicant and its operator to comply with the permit's requirements. We support Karen Haddon's request that a Class A operator should be required for this permit. TCEQ must include a limit on total phosphorus in the Mirasol Springs TLAP permit. We support GIA's request that a limit of 0.15 milligrams per liter be included in the permit for total phosphorus in the Mirasol Springs permit. This is a limit that TCEQ is already including in the discharge permits for Dripping Springs and Belterra and for the proposed permit for Liberty Hill. Why are these steps necessary? We again want to remind you that runoff from the basin over the fields will increase saturation, which will increase the possibility of overflow, wastewater overflow from the fields into the channel that leads into Elder Canyon and into the Pedernales River. The lack of a phosphorus limit means that there is a greater risk for algae growth and other contamination in the Pedernales River. In closing, we appreciate the efforts that Mirasol Springs and Steve Wynn have taken to make this an environmentally responsible resort and subdivision. However, these steps are not enough. This development will be located in the midst of some of the Hill Country's most unique and remarkable and beautiful features, Roy Creek Canyon, West Creek Preserve, and Reamers Ranch. In addition, it will be near Pedernales Falls, one of our most popular state parks. In issuing a TLAP permit to Mirasol Springs, TCEQ must take every possible step to ensure that this remarkable area is not harmed. Thank you.
Thank you. Carolyn Kroom. All right, thank you. And then Miriam Wright. I'm sorry. Okay. right, so those are the last folks I had that signed up to provide comments at tonight's meeting. At this time, there's anyone who's not yet had the opportunity to provide comments that would like to do so. If you've not had the opportunity, but would like to do so. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the process moving forward in closing. So after tonight, TCQ staff will go back, review all the comments that have been submitted both in writing, the comments that were provided here during the comment period of tonight's meeting, and start working on their response to comments document. Once that's completed and filed, it gets mailed to everyone who's on the mailing list for this application, which includes those folks who provided comments, includes anyone who checked the add me to the mailing list box on your registration form tonight. With that response to comments document, there will be a cover letter explaining the decision of the executive director and then establishing that final 30-day period for request for a contested hearing. So the next thing you should see in your mailbox is the response to comments with that cover letter. If you start to worry that maybe you've missed it, feel free to give us a call. We'll give you a status update. I'd like to thank everyone for being here tonight. Appreciate your questions. Also appreciate the comments that you provided. Please be careful going home tonight. I hope that you have a great rest of your evening and a great rest of your week. That will close tonight's public meeting. Thank you.